encourage us, rebuke us, and cause us to look to you for everything that we have, knowing that you're God and there's none beside you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mitch. Well, that passage that Mitch just read is written to believers who are departing from the faith, really to befriend the world. It's really how apostasy happens. And that is, of course, what we've been looking at over the past 6 weeks now. For those of you that might be new here this morning, typically we do go verse by verse through a particular book of the Bible. But over the past few weeks, we've been going through a topical series on apostasy. And apostasy in the Bible means the departure from the truth of God's word through the deceitfulness of sin. In fact, Hebrews gives us a warning. It's one of the warnings we actually began this series with, but it's Hebrews 3, 12 and 13 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And we've talked a lot about this over the course of the past few weeks. And we noted that apostasy really is based in pride. In fact, pride is really the essence of sin, because it's all about what I want. It started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And if you think about it, every single worldly way, every single worldly philosophy, every single world religion is based in pride. It's based on what I want, okay? I need to look out for number one. I need to take care of myself. I just need to be me. And I'll do good. I'll be kind so that others will do good and be kind to me. It's kind of that pay it forward philosophy. I'll do good. I'll be kind so that I can have what I ultimately want. And many religions are based in doing really what they're told so that they can have what they want. Whether it be heaven itself or a state of nirvana, or whether it be reincarnation to a higher caste, whether it be 40 virgins in heaven, whether it be to be God themselves one day, or just really to earn some kind of merit with God. Well, I want you to know, and I hope you know already, that Christianity, biblical Christianity, is completely unique. Because it is the only, and I'm going to call it a religion here, it's the only religion that is based in humility. It's the only religion where heaven is a free gift from God received through faith in Him. It's the only religion based in the humility of God Himself. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about what God has humbly done for us. And it is simply us trusting and submitting to Him. In fact, it's not about religion at all. It's about a restored relationship with our God. It's loving God because He first loved us. It's about loving others because God first loved them. It is serving God because He first served us. It is about us serving others because God first served them. It is about treating others the way God treated us. It's about us being faithful to Him because He is always faithful to us. You see, the trail of truth is based in humility. It's not about doing to get. It's about doing because we got. We already got it. Now, because apostasy is based in pride, I've often thought, and apostasy, of course, again, is those people that have tasted the truth, the Holy Spirit, the power of heaven, and then they depart from the Lord because they've been deceived by sin. And I've often thought about using their own pride and arrogance against the apostate. We talked a few weeks ago about Hebrews chapter 6 and the fact that it says it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. And I have to admit that my worldly way of thinking, my fleshly nature, wants to use their own pride against them and tell them, well, you can't change your mind about God. God says so. He says it's impossible for you to do that. Little reverse psychology, right? Oh, don't tell me what I can't do. I'm going to repent. Well, getting off of the avenue of apostasy is not about psychology. It's about a heart of humility. It's about coming to an understanding about who God is once again. It's about humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord. It's about hearing the truth and allowing it to once again convict us in those areas that we need conviction. It's about confessing our agreement with God, even if we don't fully understand everything about Him. And then growing in that understanding. Growing in the knowledge of the truth. Allowing it to transform our lives. And abiding in it so that God will be honored and glorified. That's the trail of truth. That's the trail of truth. And that's our subject this morning. You see, where the avenue of apostasy is a very broad road, and there are many who take it. The trail of truth is narrow. It's very pointed. In fact, it's pointed right to Christ. Now, just before we look at some of the points on this trail, and actually over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to look at seven of them, three of them this morning. But just before we look at some of the points on this trail, know really that there are two reasons, and I think really only two reasons, that a person might not be on the trail of truth. Two reasons a person might not currently be on it, all right? And here they are. First of all, they've fallen away, okay? And again, that's what we've been talking about over the past 6 weeks. They've been deceived by sin and departed from the truth and are making their way down this avenue of apostasy. In fact, if we look into the Old Testament, we see that the Jewish people as a whole have stepped on and off of that avenue throughout all history. In fact, the books of Hebrews and James are addressed to the Jewish people about their proneness to apostasy and worldliness. You see, the further down that avenue of apostasy that one goes, the more difficult and impossible it will be for them to get off of it. And for that person who has departed from the truth and is on that route, know that it ends in discipline and destruction if you don't get off. Hebrews 10:29 says, "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified as nothing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" The apostasy's end is the apostate's end is discipline and destruction if they continue. And sadly for the Jewish people, it was often generational. When a generation went apostate, they stayed apostate, and the consequences were very bad for them, and it wasn't until the next generation that they often re-entered the trail of truth. Well, I pray that isn't the case for you. I pray that it's not generational. If you've stepped away from faith in God, if you've been deceived by sin and desire that sin with all your heart, I pray that you'd turn around right now. Come back to the truth of God's Word. Because with God, all things are possible. And we talked about that a few weeks ago too. Now is the time. Now is the time to humble your heart in the sight of the Lord. Now is the time to humble your heart and get off of that avenue of apostasy. And we're going to see, at least begin seeing what that looks like this morning. So falling away is the first reason a person might not be on the trail of truth. Here's the second. The second reason a person may not be on the trail of truth is they were never really on it. They were never really on it. They either never really believed the truth of God, or they believed in vain, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. This is one who either rejects the truth and always has, or one who claimed it, but only had, I guess, just a mental understanding of it and never personally, humbly trusted in Christ and what he's done for you. 1 John 2:19 says of them, "They went out from us, but they were never of us." Regardless, though, the apostate, the rejecter, the vain, they all need the principles found on this trail of truth. And so we're going to look at them over the course of the next few weeks, three of them this morning. But it all begins, first of all, with communication of the truth. It has to be spoken. It has to be proclaimed. Communication of the truth is the first principle on this trail of truth. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I think we're going to have it up here too. But Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to read to you verses 11 through 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 15. It says there, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So let me stop there just for a second. God gave people like you and me who know the truth to proclaim the truth to others, in particular our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he gave us to them for this purpose. It continues, "that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. The truth needs to be communicated. It needs to be communicated to everyone, to one another, so that we know the truth and we can therefore identify lies when they come our way. And there are a lot of lies out in the world. As I've mentioned in past week, there are people in my life that have departed from the faith. They were immature children in the faith, and they've been deceived by the winds of false teachings that are blowing through the world today, and as a result have made some very ungodly, prideful, and dangerous changes in their life. And it's even permeated down to the simplest of things we notice it, where they used to tell us, "We're praying for you." Now they say, "We're in their thoughts." Thanks. Meaning God's out of the picture. And I got to tell you, that breaks my heart. But just because they have changed who they are does not mean that I'm going to change who I am. I'm going to continue to pray to God for them and tell them that I'm praying for them. I'm going to pray to God in their presence. I will continue to speak the word of God in their presence. I will continue to remind them of the glorious and gracious gospel of Christ. I'm going to continue to praise God for every good and perfect gift. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will continue to be a loving, Christ-like example. I will continue to lovingly communicate the truth in word and deed, praying to God that it will be heard in humility. You see, the truth, as we communicate it, the truth must be spoken in love. It must be spoken in love. Love must be the motive, because it was God's motive. If love is not the motive behind our message, the message is just going to be an empty, irritating noise to the hearer. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about this. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." So if you truly love the person that you are speaking to, speak the truth in love. And then the truth, it must be heard in humility. It must be heard in humility. For that person on the avenue of apostasy, recognize for a moment that the person who is lovingly sharing the truth with you actually gets nothing from it. They're not doing what they are doing for self-gain. They're doing what they are doing because they are concerned for you. They can see that you have been blinded and misled by a lie coupled really with a desire that you selfishly want. And they don't want that to destroy your life because they love you. The truth must be heard in humility. In fact, from the passage again that Mitch read, it says, "God gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." The trail of truth begins with the communication of the truth. Here's the second principle. The second principle is conviction by the truth. Conviction by the truth. From Psalm 139, I think I've got this one here for you too. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. In fact, we sang about it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Conviction by the truth. Conviction by the truth is really understanding. It's coming to the understanding that we can be and have been lied to. Whether you know Christ or not, we're bombarded by the lies of the world every single day. Conviction by the truth is understanding that we can be and have been lied to. Our own hearts can deceive us. We are prone to believe what we want to believe. And that is why deception works so well. That's why deception works so well. It tells us what we want to hear. Back in 2013, due to some unrest among the North Korean people, the government there created a propaganda documentary of what life is really like in the United States of America. It described the coast-to-coast poverty in the U.S., showing people sleeping on park benches out in the cold, showing them in long lines for a mere cup of soup, showing them on drugs, talking about the vast amount of people dying because of all of the gun violence. They described people living in tents, because housing construction practices and materials are so poor. And it was to appease their people. See how terrible it is over there? You've got it so good here. Well, you can also find online videos of North Korean defectors to the U.S. who were not surprisingly shocked when they came to the U.S. to find it was not like that at all. In fact, the reason they defected is because they thought, I think I'm being lied to. I think I'm being lied to. And the scariest part of some of these videos is the likeness these North Korean defectors are seeing between North Korea and the direction the U.S. is going. The U.S., like North Korea, is going in the direction of godlessness. And that's where it leads. And it's even infiltrating the church. And that's why I'm doing this series now. Conviction by the truth. Hearing and seeing the reality of the matter can help one to understand that they can be and have been lied to. I mean, we invested one Sunday morning looking at the sureness of Scripture so that anyone who will humbly examine the evidence can know that the Word of God, the Bible, matches reality. It's not about a blind faith. It's a faith that is backed by visual evidence. Conviction by the truth is understanding that we can be and have been lied to. And conviction by the truth is understanding that perhaps we've believed the lie. It's understanding that perhaps we've believed the lie. It's a humbling thing, dare I say, a humiliating thing to learn that we've been duped. The reason God tells us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord is because if we don't, there will come a day when we are humbled by the truth. There will come a day when we're going to realize, I've been duped. I've been duped. In fact, James 4:6 says God resists the proud. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. James also says that God gives grace to the humble. You see, pride, arrogance, it is forgivable because God is gracious. And he will reward the humble even though they don't deserve it. That is the God of the universe. Conviction by the truth is understanding that perhaps we believe the lie, and then it is understanding that we must follow the truth. And again, that takes humility. Because of pride that naturally exists in us, one of the most difficult things for a human being to do is to admit we've been wrong. But in reality, for the human being, one of the greatest demonstrations of humility is to admit we've been wrong. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 again, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. We began this entire series talking about the fact that there are many reasons why people depart from the faith. Anxieties, abuses, injustices, hypocrisy. But regardless of what we've been through or are going through, these are not legitimate reasons to abandon the truth. Anxieties, abuses, injustices, hypocrisy, they're going to happen everywhere you go, whether in the church or outside. In fact, following God, Christ, the faith, that's the only solution to your problem. Sin is the reason for anxieties, abuses, injustices, hypocrisy. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Conviction by the truth. It's understanding we've been lied to. We believe the lie, and we must now follow, pursue the truth. The last principle on this trail of truth, at least that we're going to look at today, is confession of the truth. Confession of the truth. King David was at a point in his life where he had been duped by a lie. He believed the lie that he told himself, and it took him down a very, very dangerous path. And there came a point in time when he was convicted about it and confessed it. And in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And of course, that's an adulterous affair that he was involved in. And here's what David says. Upon being convicted of that and now confessing the truth, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and have done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Confession. Confession of the truth. Confession of the truth is our last point today, and it's directly linked to what we just got done talking about concerning conviction. But confession of the truth is to admit we have sinned. To admit we've sinned. And that takes humility. It's admitting that what I wanted, what I did, does not match the nature of God. It does not match what He created me to be. Confession of the truth is to admit we've sinned. That takes humility. Confession of the truth is to agree with God. That takes humility. It's agreeing with His Word and believing His Word. It is seeing that He plainly has my best interests at heart. He gives me His Word so that I can avoid the dangers that come from sin. Believing and agreeing with God, it takes humility because we are prone to think we know best. Confession of the truth is to agree with God. And then confession of the truth is to ask forgiveness. That takes humility. Verses 6 through 10 of that same Psalm 51, verses 6 through 10. David continues there. He says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Confession of the truth is to ask forgiveness. And it's right here as we close out this morning. It's right here where a person will go one of two directions. They will either go the way of pride, that they'll continue down that road because I want what I want. I still want it. If you've ever seen the movie Finding Nemo, The entire plot of the movie hinges on one scene in which Nemo is in the midst of disobeying his father. He's left the safety of the reef. He swam out into the danger of the deep water to go see a boat. And his father is demanding that he return. But Nemo continues to disobey. His father warns him, "Don't touch that boat." And Nemo, while maintaining perfect eye contact with his father, touches the boat. And of course, danger happens. It happens. Nemo is captured, and the whole rest of the movie is about his father wanting to rescue Nemo back from the danger that he himself pursued. The Bible calls that kind of disobedience being stiff-necked. I see what you're saying, but I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. I'm going to keep believing the lie. I'm going to stick with all those unsubstantiated fairy tales that I've told myself and believe. I'm going to keep spewing all of those fallacies. I'm going to continue living in my own imagination. And I'm going to return like a dog to its vomit. That's how God describes the person who has departed from the faith, back to the sin that He rescued them out of. It's how He described Israel and their disobedience. He also, by the way, called them stiff-necked about a dozen times because they went the way of pride. I want what I want. So, one of two ways, after hearing what we've gone through this morning, they may continue, you may continue down the way of pride, or you may go the way of humility. And that is to hear the truth. And I'm glad you're here today, because you're hearing what God has to say on this subject. But be convicted by it. I pray that you're convicted, that it moves you enough that you will do some sincere investigating. Don't look at this with eyes that you already know it's wrong, okay? Because that's the lie. That's going the way you want. Look at it in humility. Allow the truth to speak to you. So hear the truth, be convicted by the truth, and as it does, confess. You know, God, I can see where you're right on this. God is your God, whether you like it or not. And He wants you back. He wants you back. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is the way of humility. The apostate, the rejecter, the vain, they all need this trail of truth. 2 John 1:7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Hebrews 3:7-13 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And then he says this. This is where we kind of began this morning. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is powerful. It is powerful, especially when it's coupled with something we want. But I want you to know that God is stronger and He's gracious. He wants you back. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for the clarity of your word concerning not only those who are lost and have never known you, but those who have and have left you because of the desires, the sinful desires of their heart. Thank you for your clarity, the clarity of your word concerning that. But Lord, we thank you for the clarity of your word concerning how to depart from the avenue of apostasy and now step onto that trail of truth. Thank you, Lord, for the clarity in which you communicate that truth to us. Thank you for the conviction that it causes in our heart that we would change our minds. We thank you that we can come to you humbly and confess, I was wrong. And you will take us into your arms. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.